Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to start this week off with, I think, some real positive information, how you can be fit, not fit just physically, but also spiritually. My guests are Brant Secunda and Mark Allen. We're going to be talking about their wonderful publication, Fit Soul and Fit Body, two very interesting men that have perspectives that I think we all can benefit from. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Great to be here.
All right, and who am I speaking with here? Is this Mark or Brant?
Well, this is Mark
Brant
here.
And
Mark.
I'm Brant. Nice to meet you.
I'm Brant. All right, great. Now, for those of you listening, and Brant, you will have to educate me regarding the correct pronunciation of the people. Is it Hui Kwai Shaman?
Well, that was pretty good. It's Weechol.
Oh, well, boy, was I off base. So it's called...
No, that was good. No problem.
Weechol. Uh-huh. All right. Great. Now, you're a Weechol shaman and also a healer. And, Mark, you are a six-time Ironman triathlon champion. Just thinking about a triathlon exhausts me. I mean, this is just incredible that, you know, you were a six-time Ironman. I'm aware of what people have to go through to prepare for that. Now, you two gentlemen have quite an interesting background with each of you. How in the world did the two of you ever come together of in such a positioning where you eventually wrote a book?
I was racing Ironman for many years, 6 years actually, before I met Brant, and I wasn't able to win that race, and then finally... In 1989, in my seventh try, I had made a connection with him and with the Weechol tradition before the event. And it was like the light switch went on, and all that preparation and training and all of the parts of myself that had held me back before, suddenly it just sort of drifted away, and I was able to pull off the first of six victories. And the day as it ended, people were all excited because I'd won, but really the biggest positive effect of that day was that I had finally made a connection with Brant, and I've studied with him now for over 20 years and used the tools that he shares to really develop that inner strength of character that can carry you far in any endeavor, really.
And so we decided, because we saw how helpful it was with Mark and with some other people here in America and abroad, that we thought we should put it in a book so we could reach more people than just, you know, a few people or people in our workshops that we teach. We thought if we wrote it in a book, we would be able to reach many people and help many more people.
You each have a positioning of attitude and understanding, which together you have brought, and I brought into this book. Brant, in the dedication of the book, you dedicated it to your Weechol grandfather, Don Jose Matsua. Now, where are you originally from? What country?
I am originally from the United States of America, from a country called Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, boy, those of you in New York, you'll appreciate that. Okay,
right.
So you were born and raised in Brooklyn.
Yep, and then I went, at 18, I left New York, and I journeyed to Mexico, into a little town called Ixtlan, which has now been made famous by one of Castaneda's books, Journey to Ixtlan. And So there I had the good fortune to meet a Weechol there who wrote me a letter of introduction and said I had to walk 5 days up in the Sierra Madre Mountains to his family's village. And I thought, well, if I could grow up in New York and survive the A train and all of that, I could survive the Sierra Madre. And that's how it is that I wound up meeting my grandfather, Don Jose Matsuo, who adopted me as his grandson and then put me through a 12-year apprenticeship with him.
My goodness. I think that it's difficult for people to realize that the shamans, when they are choosing someone to take their positioning within whatever environment you will be in, it does take years of training. This isn't something where you just swallow an herb and add water and you got it. It's not that at all.
No, that's so beautifully said. It takes years and years of training and just living the tradition.
Now, Mark, you are a physical guy. Six-time Ironman winner, triathlon. Let's face it, you really enjoy the physical aspect of life. Brant,
yeah.
You're very much, as a shaman, you are very, very much aware of the spiritual side. Mark, because of what you have learned in being associated with Brant, the spiritual side you find is extremely important as well as maintaining physical wellness. Tell us your big aha that really made the connection for you after you got involved with Brant.
Well, the real aha moment started from that point where in the very first race that I won, I was reflecting back in the middle of the race at the half marathon point where I was dueling it out with my biggest adversary for the title. I reflected back on an ad that I had seen before the race that Brant had in a magazine that was talking about a workshop that he was going to be having in Mexico in a few months' time. And the picture of Brant and of his grandfather, Don Jose, his teacher, they just were emanating this this amazing peace and calm, but power. And their images came back to me, that unique blend of calmness and power came back to me in the middle of the race, right when I was about ready to give up. And it just gave me the courage to sort of draw some of that energy in myself and to actually carry on. And so that was the aha moment, because in years before that, when I had reached that point where I felt like I was at my limit, I would give up. You know, because at that point, when you feel like you can't go another step, that's when you get weighted down by fear, like, I can't win this race, or self-doubt, like, oh, I didn't do the right kind of training, or maybe even, you know, a frustration or anger, like, why can't I get it right when all these other guys are having their best races? And in that moment, I realized that, hey, no matter how bad I feel, I can take another step, and then the one after that, and the one after that. And from that moment on, the race just really took on a whole different complexion, and I eventually did go on to win the first title that year. But in the 20 years that I've studied with Brant, I realized that those aha moments can happen every single day by just using some of the tools in our book, like quieting the mind. That's one of our keys in the book. When we can quiet our mind, then there's that space for those aha ideas to come, those great insights into life to come that can really help us out and carry us forward.
Brant, he's brought up a very good point. Most people, and I'll include myself in the group, we are so busy being busy in our heads. We live in a world today where technology is a gazillion miles a minute, so to speak. And your people have been on this planet for a good deal of time. They have somewhat isolated themselves, and they believe that when you're in touch with the earth, you can heal yourself, that there are these components that you can work with. How in the blue blazes do you calm down the mind when you've got all of this stuff floating through? People will say, I try to meditate, I try to be quiet. What can you suggest to the average person to do to quiet the mind? Should they use music? Should they just sit quietly, watch a hummingbird? What should they do?
You said that beautifully. It was a good question, but Don Jose used to tell me sometimes, he'd say, stop thinking so much, you'll give yourself a headache. and then some days he'd say, grandson, you're thinking so much, even I'm getting a headache. So he really emphasized, you know, quiet the mind. And the way he would do it was, you know, during my training, that he would send me out, sometimes for you know, short periods of time, sometimes for long periods of time. But he would send me out into nature, even just a few minutes from the village sometimes, and he'd have me watch a sunrise or watch a sunset. And that is definitely one good way that we here in the modern world can quiet our minds, because even, you know, if you're in the middle of New York City, there's still a sunrise, there's still a sunset, there's still a time of midday and so forth. And so you just allow yourself to go maybe even to a place between two thoughts. And we have a concept we call Nerika, which is in our book as well, where it's like a sacred or a hidden doorway of our heart, of our being, of our soul, that connects us to a place of peace and to a place where we can be quiet. And so that's one way, is just to tap into the spiritual world of nature as well, just to go out. And like you mentioned, the hummingbird, you know, is one of the most incredible birds. It's the only bird who can fly backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a remarkable bird. And the Huichols find out, they call the hummingbird Tupima, which means sacred winged one, because of its incredible uniqueness in that way. And so you just watch the birds, you watch the sunrise, you watch the sunset, you listen to, for instance, the sound of the ocean. And these definitely can help quiet the mind, which is so needed now in the modern world, because you say we're all caught up in technology. The modern world is not that it's bad, but it just has us busy all the time. And by listening to sacred sounds like an ocean, which you have even, you know, you have the ocean even in Brooklyn, or even no matter where you are here in California, where we live, there's the ocean, or there's a river somewhere. And you listen to these sounds, and these sounds help to quiet the mind, quiet the body, and help to bring a certain peace. And this has been done for thousands and thousands of years, and hopefully will continually be done as well.
Your people are about, there's about 30,000 of you, and one of the things that is said about them is that they have never gone to war.
Right. That's incredible, isn't it?
That is just almost incomprehensible, because I was just chatting with someone the other day who was discussing history, and I said, I don't know of a place on the planet that has not known war, a peoples on a planet. And here I find that the Huichols have never gone to war. They're considered a nation of shamans. This is amazing.
Yes, that is amazing. And they, you know, they were surrounded by war, you know, when there was the Mexican Revolution and so
mm-hmm.
forth. They had wars in Mexico, but the Huichols, you know, instead of fighting, they went further back up into their pilgrimage centers that were more inaccessible. And they chose to do it that way, to deal with invasion or to deal with conflict. And I think it's their key to survival. Really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With this, in your book, you talk about laughter. Both of you espouse the use of laughter. Mark, was this a tough thing for you to become comfortable with? In Western culture, we're always encouraged to really be totally focused, totally concentrated, totally serious. No real games, or if you do play games, they're so intellectual so frequently. Good old-fashioned laughter. How did you become comfortable with that?
Well, it's so healing, and I had a lot of training partners that I did my workouts with, but I realized after studying with Brandt that my favorite training partners were the ones where when we would go out, a lot of the times, we were laughing or we were teasing each other in a good-hearted way, and it just would lift the pressure off of the goals that we were going towards, so that we could just put the effort in, put the energy in, put the training time in, but without having to feel the pressure every moment. And so that's, you know, making that connection with Brandon, realizing how important laughter was, then I truly gravitated toward the people to surround me, my community, my support crew, who were people who had the ability to laugh, to joke, and to tease. And as we all know, when you're laughing with your friends, it is so healing because you forget about your problems, or maybe they're still on your mind, but they don't have as much of a negative effect on you. And this helps to reduce stress. And in the modern world, as we all know, stress is something that pretty much everybody experiences. But when we are together and we can just laugh and joke about our situation, then as Brant said, it just changes the channel and helps us to feel lighter.
And Mark, you know, he loves to joke around, and, you know, it's hard to come off on the radio, but I always say he's like the next Robin Williams.
Uh-huh, you know? Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories in the book, and you said it was Brant's first experience with the humor of the Wichoy people, and that is when a woman, and here's this Mr. Fit guy, a woman who's in her 60s, comes over to him and says, oh, do you need help? You still look so tired. And you had a humongous pack. She picked it up like it was a package of toothpicks and goes way ahead of you. That was rather humbling, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Wichos are just so filled with humor. You know, they will keep their teasing and jokes forever. And teasing and laughing is just another way to show love for another person.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people, sometimes I'll tease them up here in America, and they'll say, could you love me a little less? But it's really, you know, so you remember that book by Dr. Norman Cousins about laughter as medicine. He did a medical study on the healing power of laughter, and that's mm-hmm. about 30 years ago now. And it's just many things in that book are everything that we chose practice themselves. You know, they use laughter to break down barriers between people, and they'll use, you know, laughter as just a way to alleviate stress, for example. And Don Jose used to always say, laughter and crying are the same, just laughing makes you feel better.
Oh, is that ever true? There's a saying about comedians that you cry about life and its pain, but when a comedian is really good, they make you laugh about
right. That
same pain. So you're
not to
your
take
comment
ourselves
very
too
good.
Seriously.
Yes. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to cover here. One of them is about nutrition. And both of you have very strong attitudes about nutrition. And let's face it, Mark, anybody that is, you know, a six-time Ironman, people are going to say, oh, yeah, you're going to tell me about don't eat this, don't eat that, don't this, the other, and you're Mr. Wonderful, and oh, my God, you look great. And then they go, excuse me, I have to live in the real world. Mm-hmm. But you guys really have an attitude about feeding the body, feeding it so that it's well and healthy. You are really into, let's say, avoiding simple sugars. And if you're going to have simple sugars every once in a while, don't have them on an empty stomach. Have a little bit of protein, some oils, and complex carbs in your system already, so it won't affect your insulin levels. And then you say cutting out the caffeine, using healthy oils, and getting plenty of protein, and be sure you eat a good breakfast. Now, a lot of this sounds like common sense. Why do you think, Mark, we have such a challenge with this in today's world?
I think one of the reasons is because of the convenience with which we can get stuff that does not fall in all of those different categories that you just talked about. And there's kind of the more flavor that a food has through chemicals or through really concentrating some of the stuff that doesn't serve the health of our bodies, it hits this really primitive part of our brain that makes us actually crave more of it, which is, it's almost like we're addicted to that high-intensity flavor of junk food. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, the old potato chip commercial where they said you can't eat just one? Well, that's
kind of
the truth with a lot of the food in the modern world. It has gotten away from the form that it's in when it comes out of the earth. And we try to not tell people exactly what to eat, but more to give them an idea of how to take the foods that they do like to eat and combine them together so that they're healthy, and to eat portion sizes that serve the health of their body. And that's probably I would say one of the biggest challenges for most people is just that we have gotten to a point where we're so used to seeing such gigantic servings that that has become a normal serving size, something that's maybe two or three times what our body really needs to sustain itself.
Mm-hmm. Brant, you have some wonderful exercises in here. You talk about using the deer as an image in the mind when you're really under a great deal of stress. And I just know how many millions of people love Bambi. And it's the big eyes. They are such special creatures that when you see them, there's almost like a sense of awe that you have. They are depicted as gentle. And why is it among the Wichoy people the deer has such significance?
I think because of the cosmology of the Wichos, the deer has played such an important role. The deer has been with the Wicho people in all of their old stories of creation, with all their stories of people learning how to live on Mother Earth. And there's always been some aspect of the deer which has touched the Wicho people. So it's been passed on century after century and millennium after millennium by the Wichos to their people. And the deer is always seen as like our higher self or our intuition. So it's a chance for people to find themselves with the help of that magical deer, we might say. It's a chance for people to find out what they have inherently in their body and in their soul, this sense of well-being that is there, and we just have to find it. So in Wicho cosmology, it's the deer then who helps the people find their life here on the earth.
The power of repetition is mentioned in the book, and I would like each of you to address this. Most individuals, and I can think of a couple in my head right now, they say, I hate to do the same thing over and over and over again. Brant, what is the power of repetition?
Well, just think about it. You know, every day there's a sunrise. Every day there's a sunset. That's repetition. And so I think it just depends on what types of repetition that we're talking about. You know, I can understand people sometimes getting bored by certain types of repetition, but there's also good kinds as well. And so I just gave an example with the sunrise, with the sunset. Or another example we illustrate in the book is the art of planting. You know, the Wichos will plant corn, they'll plant beans every year. They won't not plant, and they do it the same way each
Mark?
Year.
Oh, excuse me. I heard you cut out there, Brant, so I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. No,
that's all right.
Mark also had to experience that. Maybe he could share.
That was probably one of the greatest things that I was able to just accept was that as an athlete, my training was pretty much going to be the same thing week after week, year after year. And a lot of athletes were always searching for something new or something entertaining that they could incorporate into their training that would actually pull them away from doing those core things that made them so strong and so fit. And I saw that early on that it was that repetition that actually would change the fitness in my body. And we know that, let's say somebody wants to lose some weight. If you go out and you do a walk, you put one foot in front of the other in front of the other. That is such a simple act that you do over and over and over. But over time, if you walk today and tomorrow and the next day and throughout the year, you can totally transform the physical health of your body, the shape of your body. And so we try to emphasize that that repetition is truly what makes change from the core of your being out.
And also, you know, just a simple act of walking is also a spiritual act. You know, just to walk can be something beautiful. It doesn't have to be seen as something repetitive.
I agree. I agree, especially during this time of the year. It's springtime, it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's wonderful to do that. Now, Brandt, you mention here in the book that Don Jose lived to be 108 years of age, which is absolutely, in most people's minds, an incredible thing. But he was physically very active. He didn't stop being physically active. And I have to say, just in the past 7 days, I am aware of 3 individuals that had major cardiac arrests, different ages, and 2 of them passed away. And when I heard these stories, and one was a member of my own family, and I look at this, and this is an almost, it's almost like an epidemic, heart disease problems, problems with the heart. And so often it's symptomatic of emotions, it's symptomatic of stress, there's inflammation that goes along with that, there's all of these things, and you address these different components in the book. You talk about how important it is to have the heart and the spirit and the physical self come together. What would you say to my audience, Brandt? I mean, the book, Fit Soul, Fit Body, is wonderfully done. But if you wanted to leave my audience with a message, what would that be?
Well, that's a great question because it's so true. There's an epidemic of heart disease here in our country, and I think it's definitely connected to stress, that people must learn to let go of stress, and that'll help them both physically, emotionally, mentally, on many different levels. So that's what I would like to tell the audience, is that by learning to let go of stress, by being outside, by walking, by just living a life more in peace and with yourself and with your community and with your family, this can really bring about a profound transformation.
Mark, what would you say to my audience? What would you like to leave them in thought with today?
Just that everybody has the chance to change those things that may have held them back before. As Brandt said, the negative emotions or negative patterns, that's not who we are. We are healthy people somewhere on the inside, and we just have to bring it out. And today can be the first day where you start to bring a little bit out, and then tomorrow a little more. And then in a year's time, look in that mirror, and you won't even recognize yourself. You'll be so happy and healthy.
Well, you have 2 different perspectives from 2 men that are very dedicated in to being of service to others, but also in walking the walk. No pun intended here, really demonstrating how you can make your life richer, fuller, and more balanced. Regardless of what is going on, you have the choice of being able to make the decision about balancing your life in a healthy way. Fit Soul, Fit Body. That is the name of this wonderful book. I think you will find the stories in it just fascinating. The exercises, like with the deer. There's all kinds of exercises that Brandt gives in here for the mind so that you can still yourself and you can enjoy life with richness. There are 9 keys to a healthier, happier you. Brandt Secunda, a Wichoy shaman and healer, and Mark Allen, a 6-time Ironman triathlon champion. Both of these men have been the guests today. By the way, guys, what's your website where people can go to?
They can go to fitsoulfitbody.com. They can order the book there if they like. Our keys are on there so they can get a good taste of what those are. And we also have an online fitness quiz that really is more a way to give yourself a perspective on the direction in your life, where you'd like to change it, and how you can do it. That's just go to fitsoulfitbody.com.
FitSoulFitBody.com. Brandt Secunda, Mark Allen, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you, and I appreciate the fact that you were able to put into written format what both of you live on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you,
Donna. Very much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Go to FitSoulFitBody.com. And you can take a test and see what you need to know about yourself. Why not try it? You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Fit Soul, Fit Body, again. Brandt Secunda and Mark Allen will be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And by the way, before I forget it, let me give our phone number here, because if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'm happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive psychic insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's a telephone number to call into. I know we've got a caller on the line, but there is something I wanted to share with you. Oh, fiddle-dee-dee, I can't find it. I misplaced my information. Wait a minute, I just found it. So what I'll do, I'll take our caller, and then after that, then I will share with you a poem that I thought was just really, really special. And, of course, I've got a lot of other good things to share with you. Let's go to our first caller today. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Tucson, and this is Cheryl.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. And you're out of Tucson. Okay, where the sun is shining and we're dripping here in the Pacific Northwest. So maybe if I huff and puff hard enough, maybe you'll get some of the rain. Well, maybe you don't want it when the sun's shining. Oh, well, I guess we'll keep it.
Thank you.
Okay, first thing, Cheryl, that I'm looking at, I'm being a little silly there. First thing that I am looking at with you right off the bat is roll up your shirt sleeves, because you are going to have quite a bit of work ahead of you. In fact, the pace of activity is going to be picking up pretty quickly. And you're going to find that this spring is going to be very demanding of you mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually, as well as physically. So you need to be sure, number one, that you get your rest. Don't step and watch television too long. And number two, you need to be sure that you have your times of quiet. If you can have it during your lunch hour, or if you can get up early in the morning and have your times of quiet where you can just have meditation, zone out, because you really need it to maintain your mental clarity. And there is some traveling, short trips, but traveling that I'm watching with you, and I think that you will find yourself wondering if you're putting a lot of undue stress into your environment. My response is no. You are learning some new disciplines. But again, a very, very busy and intense period for you. What's on your mind?
I'm concerned about my son, who's making life decisions. He's an adult. He's 30, and I was wondering what you picked up there.
Oh, what's his first name?
Michael.
Okay. I don't know why you're so concerned about Michael. Michael is sort of a late bloomer. That is what I'm going to call him. And it's as if he is growing in little spurts. And I'm really not too concerned about him. I think he's got a good foundation. I think that there are some issues that he's testing. But I'm really not all that concerned about Michael. What is it that's concerning you? Why are you so anxious?
He's had problems before where he goes to extremes, and he's not careful about making choices for himself that would in the past. He has an anger problem.
All right. If he has an anger problem, he's the only one that's going to be able to resolve it. So this is something that he has to work through. And I believe that not just being aware of what pushes his buttons is going to be important. I think that your son needs to learn the disciplines of thinking before reacting. He's 30 years old. He probably should have learned this when he was a teenager, but he hasn't. And I think in many ways there were too many insulations in his life. So he didn't have to go through what I call the lessons of accountability. And these are things that are coming down on him as an adult. And so as an adult, he can no longer play the games that he would have been able to play when he was younger. And I would just like for you to do one thing for yourself. I'd like you to be able to relinquish the control or the sense of, gee whiz, I wish he could be more controlled, and allow that he is going to be going through some lessons that are going to allow him to grow and mature, like I said earlier, in short spurts. I'm not all that worried about him. I do think that as I'm watching him, I feel like his attitude is, I know what I am doing. You, as his mother, are naturally going to be quite concerned. But remember, he is 30 years old. He knows what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So there is a side of him that just hasn't grown up yet. And I think that he's just going to have to go through the learning curve. Do you see him that often?
No, not that often.
Well, when in your conversation, if there is something that comes up that he discusses, how he gets very angry or blah, 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 all I would say is don't tell him what to do. He hates that. Most young people do. They hate being told what to do. So I think I would instead be a questioner and say, how do you feel that you should handle this? If you are going to be experiencing this, what do you think you need to do? And just let him vent. Just let him vent. Don't make any judgments. I guarantee you he's going to level out in a way that is going to be a relief to you to find out. But I do think that he has to learn. And I don't know that regular counseling is going to do it for him. I think it would assist in certain ways. But again, he's going to have to do it on his own. One thing I'll tell you is don't let him bring his stuff, if you will, into your space. Don't accept responsibility. If he says, well, it's because of this, thus, that, or so when I was growing up or something like this, just look at him very calmly and say, well, if you could change it, what would you change? Don't be afraid to question him. You don't have to be in any way antagonistic, but throw things back in his lap. That's the only way he's going to learn how to think. Does that help you at all?
It does.
Good. He's not stupid. He's quite sharp. But sometimes people get habits, and they get accustomed to these habits, and they really don't give much thought to changing the habits of certain response patterns. And let's face it, all of us are going to have moments where we don't do everything that we should do in the right, acceptable way, but that's part of living. That's part of learning. I think he's going to end up being okay. But he has to earn that right.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling in, Cheryl. This is Donna Seaborn. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share this poem with you that is in the book, Fit Soul, Fit Body. And I really think that it says so well that most of us, what most of us should be mindful of. And this is a request to life. Give me what sustains me. Help me to find what I need to keep going in my life, to find what propels me and gives me energy. Bring purpose to my actions so they have meaning to my soul. This is sustained through my personal symbols of success that come from my visions of possibility. I am asking for clarity of vision so I can see where to go, what I need to do. With this image, help me to live what it will take to get there. Help me to trust in my own abilities. Help me to live what I have asked for. Bring joy and clarity to my journey. Written like a poem, it's more like a prayer, I think. And it is very, very special. And I think the words enable us to come together as an individual. I wanted to share that. We didn't have a chance to mention that when I was chatting about the interview. Donna Seaborn here, 888-815-9756. By the way, the newsletter is out. And I want to thank those of you that have been sending me emails about how much you enjoyed the editorial, which was about a letter from someone in Japan that has experienced this very, very difficult radiation environment and the tsunami and the earthquakes and all of that. Just a very powerful letter that I had been emailed that I share with you. So if you'd like to go and see the newsletter, go to DelphiInternational.com, D-E-L-P-H-I, international, the whole word, .com, and check out the newsletter button, and you'll find it right there posted in all of its colorful presence. And if you'd like to receive my newsletter every month, all you need to do is send me an email, Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I would be delighted to just add you to the mailing list. Now, this week, we have a fascinating lineup of people. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Ken Stoller. This is a physician, and he's going to be telling us about his experience, one, with his son's death, and two, how his son came to him 2 years after he died, asking his father to write the story he wanted written. The book is called Life After Life, and it is really well done, and absolutely fascinating reading. Then on Wednesday, we are going to have music. Filippo Francini. We're going to be playing his gorgeous music called Magic and Grace. Wonderful, wonderful music. So we'll be sharing that with you. And then Courage Companion, Living Your Life with True Power. Mary Beth Sammons is going to be our guest. Wonderful stories there. And then money, 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 money. That's what we're going to be talking about on Friday. Moneylicious. Ornella Groves is going to be our guest. Wonderful topics, wonderful people, and I hope that you will be able to join us. And don't forget, you can go in to the show segment, and where it says The Donna Seaborn Show, there's a little button, so to speak, there that says show information. You tap on that, you'll get a listing of the guests that are coming up this month, and you'll get a brief bit of information about those guests. So all of that's going to be available for your viewing convenience. Donna Seaborn here, 888-815-9756. Now, we're going to take a break for just a moment. And when we come back, oh, I've got some fun stuff to share with you. Can you imagine ordering a coffin and having it in your living room? I mean, for that special day? Woohoo! Who's going to do that? Well, I'll tell you about a woman that is. And then, if you want to have a drug-free, sneeze-free allergy season, I've got some tips for you there, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And of course, telephone lines are open for you to call into 888-815-9756. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Seaborn. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756, if you'd like to call in and chat with me. By the way, for those of you in New York City, I am going to be there next week. I'm flying in to be part of a panel at the National Publicity Summit on the 14th, and I'm going to be interviewing the equivalent of like 100 authors. And if you would like to have a private appointment with me while I'm in the Big Apple, then all you need to do is call my office at 253-582-5604. Also, you can email me, donna@delphiinternational.com. But I do have that time available while I am in New York. Okay, I was telling you about someone. I was asking the question, actually. What would you do? Would you order your coffin in advance? Well, there's a lady by the name of Kay Groom. She doesn't keep it in her living room, but I'll tell you what. She has a full-size coffin just for her in the spare bedroom. Yeah, right. Oh, boy, I guess she doesn't have many guests to come over. She is in Swaffham, Norfolk, England, and she likes, she said, to take the mystery out of death by lying in it. Okay, to each their own. Now, at the time that she talked about this, she was in her early 40s, she also has a collection of more than 300 ornamental skulls and admits to being fascinated by death. Now, when she was measured, she had to be measured for this coffin, which cost her $400. It was a satin-lined pine box, and this was done a few years back. She said, it's a coffin I'm going to be buried in. It's very comfy. Although I really don't like it with the lid down because I'm a bit claustrophobic, you think? Oh, jeez. People think I'm mad, macabre, and sometimes people think I'm a witch. But I'm not. Okay, I don't think she's any of the latter items mentioned. Claustrophobic, I believe that. But in your spare bedroom? I really don't think many people would want to come over and stay at your house because they take a look at that and they go, okay, yes, I wonder what she has in mind for this. Ah, well, to each their own. What would we do if we couldn't talk about people? I always say to individuals, isn't it fascinating? Everybody has a story. And we're all so different. And we all have our own idiosyncrasies, like this lady with 300 skulls and this type of thing. It makes life very interesting when you find out about all of these variables with human beings. It's just absolutely amazing. And just when you think you know it all or you've heard it all, I guarantee you somebody's going to come up with something that's just going to knock your mental socks off. It's just the way life is. Donna Sebo, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. People this time of the year will end up just with a sneezy, itchy, puffy eye syndrome. There was a friend I met one day, and she looked like she had just been put through the ringer. Great big circles around her eyes and red, and she looked like one of those commercials on television. Well, allergies. She said this there's something in the air, and man, it's just hit me, and I have to go see the doctor. Well, according to some information, pollen goes through the air every spring, but there are ways that you may be able to deal with it so that you don't have to take drugs. Now, there's nothing wrong with drugs. There's a time and a place for them, but sometimes we need to learn how to work with our bodies so that we can do that, that it's going to empower our immune system so we can enjoy not having to use drugs, because after a while, sometimes they're just not effective. Now, they say the biggest trend in allergies isn't technology, it isn't medicine, it's a tendency to go for more natural treatment. Now, stop and think about that. There was a time when no one questioned the efficacy of a medicine. Today's world, people are saying, wait a minute, we've got to check things out. Now, there's a Dr. Brunilda Nazario, who is a medical editor at WebMD, and this is what Dr. Nazario suggests. He said, stay inside as much as you can on sunny, windy days when the pollen counts tend to be the highest. If you do need to go out, change your clothes when you get back, because you're going to be all covered with pollen, even if you can't see it. Even better, if you take a shower and before bed, use a saline rinse to get the pollen out of the flypaper-like mucus that lines your nose. A bulb syringe, a squeeze bottle, or a neti pot will do well. Again, it's just a salt, a light saltwater solution. It helps the sinuses to rinse out the irritants. And also, even though pharmaceuticals are recommended, that, and they do have a good effect on people, there are herbs that people are finding out about. And remember, all medicine originates from nature, all of it. So if there is something I've never heard of before, it's called butterbur, B-U-T-T-E-R-B-U-R. They say this herb has the best track record among herbs used for pollen allergies. Now, this statement was made by Dr. David Reichel, who's the founder and director of the University of Wisconsin's Integrative Medicine Program. And he said some studies are suggesting that this butterbur can be as effective for nasal symptoms as an antihistamine, but you don't have any sleepiness. And, you know, they say the safety of long-term use hasn't been studied, so be aware that that's something you need to know about. And there's not a lot of studies on many other supplements for hay fever, such as stinging nettle and some other items. But if you want to know about herbs, go to a website. About Herbs is its title, and it is put out by the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Research Group. But they are concerned that it doesn't protect you as well. Now, you can wear a pollen blocker mask. It traps allergies before they make it deep into your passages and lungs. This was from an article in the Wall Street Journal. But you just need to think about whether or not you're going to be comfortable wearing them. You know, the Japanese aren't concerned. They do it all the time. It's just often a part of their culture. And I've been around people, they wear them. And it's just something that they need to do because they're vulnerable and susceptible to it. So there's all kinds of things that are going on. Research and check things out. Remember, your body's immune system, you want to take care of it as best as you can. Regardless, there's just that little bit of trivia that I wanted to share with you regarding health. And I know that we're just about out of time here. I had a special story I was going to share. I do want to mention again that I'm going to be in New York City. So for those of you listening from the Big Apple, I will be available for in-person consultations and or also by phone. So you can call my office at 253-582-5604 if you would be interested in meeting with me. I will be in New York the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th, and then I will be back in my home office. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. In today's world, we must accept the responsibility for doing the best we can with what we have, and taking care of ourselves is first and foremost. The gift of health is something that we earn, and we can't just take for granted that we're just going to be able to tiptoe the physical tulip, so to speak, and not be affected by life. It's not going to work that way, but you need to take care of yourself physically. So do that, because a fit body does enable you to have a fit mind as well. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking our time today. We will say goodbye for now and be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.